Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Dr. Sai, what you got for me this year?
You rocking with the village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all. 2017. And welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live. We are in the village. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Right now it's just me, Chance Slink. Will be joining us later. If not, you guys got me. You got my, you know, smooth shaving the face and mildly weird mustache going on right now. So anyways, I'm here. We're live. We're going to do our thing. Couple of topics, you know, bunch of stuff. We're going to do some Village Idiots. I found some really funny stories that I want to share with you guys, and I'm probably going to pull up a few more just because, you know, we haven't done Village Idiots in quite some time now. So, without further ado, Village, some admin stuff here. If you guys want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Enlighten My Mind. Lady J is at Loving Chanel. You can follow Chance at Chance W. Brown. And you can follow Slink at Slink Grindstone. So, and you can get a hold of us via phone 619-202-1562. You can also get a hold of us via email, welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Check out the Etsy page. We have wristbands and shirts that are currently up. We're currently working with the vendor to get some more shirts. He actually emailed us the idea and or the concept, and we're going to get back to him and go from there. What else? What else we got going on? Oh, I'm also, ladies, I'm also working on a bathroom product line. Right now, I'm kind of focused on one particular product. And I'm going from there. So again, Village, we got a lot going on. Don't think because we were gone for the last month that we weren't behind the scenes working. Like, we literally had to wait till Crowdcast basically updated everything, and because co-hosts couldn't join, and co-hosts could not join, and so we're in this podcast. Right now, it's just me. I'm live by myself. And I don't want to be super long today because I'm actually heading out to Gay Pride with the wife. We're going to go check it out. It'll be both our first time going, and I'm looking forward to going. I've never been. We have a babysitter coming out and everything like that. We're going to get out there, get after it, and have a good time. So let's jump into these topics, okay? Let's jump into these topics. I'm kind of checking back and forth on Crowdcast and between Facebook Live as well. Waiting on Chance to let me know that he's up, or Slink to let me know that he's ready. But anyways, here we go. Let's jump into these first topics here. Now, some of you are going to laugh, and even when I initially heard it, I started laughing as well. And here's why. Let's talk about this wall that the newly, how do you say this here? The things that Trump wants to have instead. Now I'm okay. Like, again, I'm not okay with the wall. I don't like it. I don't like the idea of it. I know it has been proposed before with other administrations. So please don't come at me and saying, "Oh, well, Obama did it and Clinton did it and whoever else." That's fine. I don't like it now. I didn't. And if Obama would have said it, I would have said I didn't like it then either. Right? Doesn't make a difference. I don't like the idea of a wall. I don't like the concept of separating us by this wall. That does bother me. So now we're looking at this wall that that President Trump wants to have built along the Mexico-U.S. border. Okay, he's gotten some support out of it. Mexico will not pay for the wall. I need you guys to understand that, right? But at the same time, here are some things. If you remember earlier, you remember him saying he wants to put solar panels on the wall. And for me, I was like, okay, I'm okay with this. I'm not a fan of the wall, but I'm okay with solar panels. Anything that can make our country better, I'm down for that. Now, is the premise of the wall still bad? Of course it is. I don't want this wall between me and Mexico. I don't think that's necessary. You know, we're worried about drug dealers and drug runners and things of that nature. Well, here's the truth. They're by any means necessary. If they don't have, if they can't do it this way, they'll do it another way, right? If they can't do it with, you know, digging underground, well, then they'll maybe go in the water. I don't know. Either way, you know, people will find a way to complete their goal. And so with that in mind, there's some new things he wants done. He actually wants the wall to be made, apparently made clear or see-through or something of that nature. I don't know exactly what his wording was, but his thought process was if drug dealers are throwing drugs over the top of the wall, Americans can know what's coming, essentially, and be able to kind of dodge the oncoming or falling bags of drugs. What do you say to that? You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to fully say to that. And here's why. Number one is absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion. I would like to see the statistics on the amount of Americans that have been hit by drug lords or members of these cartels that are throwing drugs or willing to throw drugs over the wall, and how many Americans would be down by the border mall, border wall, and just happen to be taking a stroll. That's something that we probably need to visit and look at before we put more things into this wall that probably really don't need to be there, right? And so with that, I'm definitely not looking forward to this wall. I'm not looking forward to all the different things that he wants to put in this wall. Because again, I don't agree with the wall, right? And it's not only that I don't agree with the wall per se. Let me try to increase some volume here. It's not so much that I don't agree with the wall. I think the wall is unnecessary. So yeah, I do disagree. But I disagree because I think the wall is unnecessary. I don't want to put up a wall between me and another country that we're not, like, warring with, you know. The people that come here are coming here because they want a better life. They want a better existence, right? I don't think anyone... there are those that are coming here because they want to cause us harm. But I highly doubt that it consists of Mexicans. Now, can ISIS and other terrorist organizations filter their affiliates through Mexico? Of course. Of course. But let's look at the bigger, grander picture here. Yes, I understand that America comes first and we have to protect our country. I get that. But then again, there are still those people that are literally like, hey, I just want to come for a better life. I want my kids to have a better existence. I don't want my kids growing up around drugs, crime, and things of that nature. I want them to have the opportunities that I never had. And that is what I fully support. That's what I see. Now, some have said, well, that, you know, make them do it legally. Excuse me. Make them do it legally. Okay, fine. I'm with that as well. But when you're in a dire strait and you're in a dire situation and you absolutely absolutely have no other option, right? You have no other option but to simply say, I have to get there now. Then what do you do? What do these people do? It's either life or death. And that's what some of these people are facing. That's what I think people don't realize. It's a life or death situation for a lot of these people. They don't have the time to wait years and years and years for a vetting process or immigration, getting green cards, things of that nature. Some people have to have literally said, you know what, I'll just deal with it when I get there. They'll jump on a dinghy, a little boat, and it'll be, it could be hundreds, it could be thousands of people on these boats, and they're just like, I have to get away. This is what my life has come to. It's not about me trying to come here and cause harm or discontent or anything else of that nature. It is literally them saying, I have to get out of here. I have to get out of this country because if not, I will be killed or my family will be killed. Right? So this wall that separates us, these drug dealers are going to bring this. They're going to bring the drugs. They're going to bring whatever. They're going to do whatever it takes. Right? So that's my reasoning behind, or what I believe, why the wall won't work the way we want it to work, the way that it could work. Now, the whole solar panels and things like that, I think that's a great idea. And if this wall is going to actually go up, if it does go up under his administration, then the solar panels is going to be a added bonus. You know, it'll be something that we can at least say, hey, it's helping helping the state. It's helping our environment. We're going green, for lack of a better word. But again, you know, I'm not a fan of the wall. So there it is. That's just where I'm at with all this. So let's move on to this next topic here. And this is more of a, this is why I wish I had more, had a few ladies involved in this one, because sometimes I look at things from male privilege and I have to be checked sometimes. That's just an absolute truth. I have to be checked. President Trump, 45, he's actually on a European tour doing his thing, and he meets President Macron's, or Prime Minister Macron's wife, Bridget Macron. And I forget the setting, but it appeared to be like a church or something of that nature. And, you know, Trump says, to Macron's wife, Bridget, you're in such good shape. And you're very beautiful. Made some, he made respectful comments. But again, this is me speaking from male privilege. I understand, well, I saw that there were some people that were quite upset about him making no statements. And for me, I was thinking to myself, are you just upset because he, you just don't like him as a president? Or is this a valid reason why, is there real validity as to why you, you know, didn't think he should have said that? And I get that some of you don't like him, and then that's going to be the main focal point of why of why you don't agree with what he said. Like I said, he says, hey, you're in great shape, you're beautiful, this, that, and the third. And I just saw it as he was giving her a compliment. She is an attractive woman. She is beautiful, right? But I guess to a degree, in the political arena such as that, is it proper? Maybe that's what the bigger issue is. Maybe because it wasn't proper that he said that. Maybe that's what people were flipping out about. I don't know. It's just something that I was thinking about. Now, like I said, the privileged male is coming from a place where I'm looking at this as, okay, he gave her a compliment. Feminist, and I try to consider myself a feminist, but again, I'm not seeing why there's such outrage over this. I've seen numerous news outlets, media outlets, kind of condemning him for it. And, you know, for those of you that are going to hear this on either watch the Crowdcast replay or you're going to watch or listen to the edited version of this, I highly encourage you guys to get at me. You can hit me up on Twitter, or you can add Enlighten My Mind, or you can email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Shoot us a voicemail, 619-202-1562. I really would like to hear some people and their thoughts on this, because this is, to me, my male privilege is not saying, is saying that this wasn't a big deal. And I'm trying to be as supportive as I can, because I mean, he just, to me, in my mind, in my eyes, he just said, hey, you're beautiful. And for those of you that are offended by what I'm saying, hey, I apologize. I really do. But at the same time, you know, I tell people all the time, if I'm doing something wrong, educate me. Educate me on what I'm doing wrong. I have no issue with being educated on something I'm doing wrong, because that's the only way that I'm ever going to learn, right? You know, sometimes you can't hop on Google and type in something, or you can't just, you know, do some research sometimes. Sometimes you need that on-the-job training, that OJT, like, hey, this is what you're doing. This is my opinion. This is why I feel it's wrong. And if you can show me some real ugly, then yeah, I'm like, okay, now I get it. But if you're just disliking what he did based off the fact that you dislike him as a president, you know, then that has nothing to do with anything. He made a compliment to a woman. He says, literally says, you're in such good shape. Very beautiful woman. He didn't try to grope her. He didn't try anything crazy like that. Melania Trump was right there. He just kind of rolled with the punches, you know, like we can't dig too far into something that doesn't need to be dug too far into. And I think that's one of the things that liberals is definitely going to lose with. Instead of attacking these things such as this, let's stay focused on the bigger issues here, right? Let's stay focused on the things that really matter. Him telling Bridget Macron that she's beautiful and that she's attractive, yes, may it have been not in the right setting, possibly, very possibly. I believe they were in a church setting of some sort. But at the end of the day, that doesn't negate the fact that he's doing all these different things under his administration. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of things going on that need more, that need further investigation. And those are the things that I think we need to focus on, right? I think us, as a society, as if you're liberal or progressive or whatever the case may be, if you took issue with this, I encourage you to stay focused on what the real issue is. The real issue is that there's lies going on in this administration currently, right? Currently going on in this administration. So I encourage each and every one of you to stay focused on that. So let's move on to this next part of here, what the Trump. Let's move on to that. I want to revisit Trump Jr. and really let's discuss it from this point of view here. Now, we all know what happened. We've all seen the emails. We've all, you know, for the most part, we've read them, seen what was going on, seen his responses in the email, which was absolutely hilarious, in my opinion. But here's the thing. Regardless of whether or not he received damaging information, right? Regardless of whether he actually received something that was damaging, is he still guilty? Is he still guilty? Is the Trump administration still guilty? And that's what I think people need to understand or think about. When all these different things, all these different political arenas are, you know, we're in them, we're bouncing around, you're receiving phone calls, emails, things of that nature. When you're that closely associated with what's going on with a major political candidate, you really, really, really have to be on your P's and Q's, essentially. You really do. So for me, I'm going to try to approach it from this perspective. Is there any guilt that can be placed on Trump Jr.? That's my question, right? Forget the fact that he tried it. From a moral standpoint, I think it was definitely wrong, right? A moral aspect, he's wrong. But let's discuss it from a legal point. Was there any wrong or anything that he can be tried for? That's what I need people to understand. Morally, yes, he was wrong. He was wrong for that. You should not even entertain the idea, and that goes for Hillary Clinton as well. You should never entertain the idea that you can get dirt from a foreign entity about or foreign government about that could sway the election, right? And I'm not just saying this from a liberal. I'm saying this to conservatives. I'm saying this to other liberals, progressives, moderates, anything like that, right? Whatever political umbrella you feel you fall under, I'm saying it to everyone. There at no point should ever be this, well, we have this dirt on this person. You want in on it? No, I don't want in on it. You shouldn't be doing stuff like that. That's just how it works. Now, does it actually go down like that? No. No, it doesn't. I'm not a fool. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to sit up here and let you guys think that I just, I'm just a fool for the game. No, not even close. What I will say is my personal opinion is that Trump Jr. was wrong, morally wrong. Now, looking at this from an aspect of legalities and things of that nature, I am waiting to see if anything, he is can be legally tried here. If he can be brought up on any kind of charges for what he has done, right? That's what I think this is really going to boil down to. Morally, we know he was wrong. We can go ahead and throw that out the door. Right? I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, progressive, or moderate. The man was wrong. Period. Now we need to go ahead and look and see if there's any kind of legal issues or legal wrongs that can be brought up, that he can be brought up on charges for. And if he can't, then truth of the matter. Leave it alone. Walk away. This is not the story you want to stay on and jump on. Right? There's bigger fish to fry. At the end of the day, Trump Jr. is not the president. Donald J. Trump is the president. That's who you need to focus on. That's where your energy needs to go. Once they prove that the legalities of him communicating with these foreign governments or foreign entities is proven that there was no legal wrongdoings, I can accept moral wrongdoings. It just shows the character of the person. You just have to kind of go from there, right? You have to be able to accept the wrongdoings, and that's it. So with that, Village, we're going to go ahead and end this segment, What to Trump. It is over. Let's look at here, and I just lost my other cue card. Sorry about that, Village. I had all my stuff written down. Here we go. Got it back right here. Let's look at the some current events here. Now, this first one that I want to talk about bothers me deeply, and here's why. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has said he possibly wants to bring back the DARE program. If you guys remember DARE from the 80s and 90s, the this is your brain and this is your brain on drugs stuff and things of that nature. But what we don't realize is that program really targeted people of color. And that's the thing that, and that's what bothers me. it's not that the program is being brought back. It's just when it was first implemented, the program really targeted people of color and the areas that they lived and the businesses that they patroned with and things of that nature. That's what bothers me about all of this. It's not so much that they're bringing back the DARE program. Who knows? It could be, it's not going to be better. I'm not going to sit up here and float my own self a lie. I can't do it. However, right? If we look at the totality of what the DARE program offered and what it represented, I can see and I can understand the angst and my own personal angst. You guys will see and understand that. Anything that targets my people or people that look like me, have darker skin tone, or don't act or think the same way as the majority of America, I think should be an issue for everybody. I think that everyone needs to realize that, you know, it just because you may live in an affluent neighborhood, and I'm blessed to live in a great neighborhood, that you can't be a target. You kids could be walking down the street, and just because you've worked hard and you've grinded, you've gotten yourself out of bad situations, don't think that your children who look like you can't be targeted. It happens. These programs are not designed for people of color to thrive. That's essentially not going to happen, right? So here it is. For me, I definitely am not looking forward to seeing this program implemented back into society. I think it needs to stay where it's at, in the grave. There's no reason to bring this program back or anything close to it. We're doing just fine. As soon as Congress and everyone realizes that marijuana is not really a drug, it's a plant. And I'm going off of what Cat Williams said. It just so happens if you happen to light it. But anyways, Village, that's my thoughts on the DARE program. I'm hoping that it does not come back. I don't want to see something like that come back ever. That's just what it is. So I'm definitely going to continue with that mindset. And let's keep it going. The next issue that I want to discuss, and I'm actually going to pull up an article, and I want to share it with you guys. Okay, just give me a minute here. Go ahead and pull this up. And for those of you that are following, I'll be able to share this with you in a second. Here we go. And we're going to screen share. All right. So, Kansas State left tackle Scott France comes out as gay. Now, this to me, I have no issue with this. I have no real issue, right? But there are some that will, right? Here's my thing. If you truly believe that there are no homosexual men that play sports or are on a down low or anything else of that nature, then you really need to go back under a rock. And as a matter of fact, I have some beachfront property in Nevada that I'm willing to sell you for real cheap, right? Here's the thing. When we look at sports in general, there is this stigma. It's a double-edged sword. It's a you can do this, but I can't type of situation. I look at the WNBA, right? For the most part, the women that are part of the LGBTQ community, they're very out, very proud. I've seen interviews where some of the players have their partners with them on stage while they're doing press conferences and things of that nature. And that's okay with me. I am absolutely okay with that, right? But then you pan over to the male side, the men's sports, and it's very difficult, in my opinion, for a man to say, hey, I'm an athlete, I'm good at what I do because I'm in this professional realm, but I'm also a homosexual man. And that's what I think people need to realize. It can't be, one can't be good and one can't be bad. One can't be, one person, one side of the coin cannot feel like they cannot come out and speak and be who they are. And I'm going to go ahead and focus on this this her article a little bit. And also I'm going to try to read a little bit of this to you guys so we have a better understanding. Kansas State left tackle Scott France publicly announced Thursday that he is gay. France broke the news to ESPN's Holly Rowe, according to Tim Bissell of the Topeka Capital Journal, and said he wanted to reach out to all other kids who are just like me. France described the moment when he came out to his teammates during a team building exercise following his 2015 redshirt freshman season to Rowe. I came out to my teammates, and I never felt so loved and so accepted ever in my life than when I did that. And ever since then, it's been great. I've grown so much closer to my teammates since. So it's been an amazing experience. France told Rowe that he had known he was gay since fifth grade. Kansas State head coach Bill Snyder also discussed how the entire team embraced France. I was quite comfortable that they would be very receptive and that they would treat him as they always said, you know, his teammate and someone that they cared about, and they did. The Lawrence, Kansas native started 13 games.
You can find this on Yelp.
The Lawrence, Kansas native started 13 games for the Wildcats last season, and he is expected to start at left tackle during his sophomore campaign. Per ESPN, France and Arizona freshman defensive end Mike King Johnson are the only two openly gay players in major college sports. France's decision to come out publicly came less than a month after former New England Patriots and Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Ryan O'Callaghan announced that he is gay. There it is. This young man has said, this is who I am, and you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be perfectly honest here. I am rather proud of this young man. And here's why I'm rather proud of this young man. It takes a lot of courage to come out in a sport that is dominated, that is absolutely dominated by men, straight men at that, and to come out and say, you know what, this is who I am. Please don't judge me for what I do in my bedroom. Judge me for what I do on the field of play. If he's in there, if he's been battling, playing football, doing this role, right, since he was a child, what makes you think that his sexuality is going to make a difference on the field? He's not out there trying to date people while he's blocking for his quarterback. No, he's doing his job. What he does once those shoulder pads comes off, for me, it's whatever. It's no consequence. I don't care. I don't care what he does. If he's happy, if he's a good person, I'll leave it at that. But what I'm not going to sit here and say or focus on is, why do I have to worry about this man being homosexual? It does not appeal to me, and I truly don't care, right? And so with that in mind, let's just kind of keep it pushing here. You know, I wish this young man the best. I hope that we as a country can get over ourselves to a degree. I really, really do. I really hope that I don't know how else to say this. I just really, really, really hope that this young man doesn't lose potential scholarships or not scholarships, playing time or his draft stock in the NFL goes down because he's come out as gay. I think that we, at this point, we need to really just look at him as the football player and go from there. All right. So let's move on to this next topic here. We have, let me see, make sure. Yep, nothing's changed here. So let's move on to this next topic, some knee-jerk reactions. I had something else that I want to talk about, but I'm going to actually talk about this knee-jerk reaction instead. I'm going to focus on this one today. Let's look at here. Hold on. Let me go ahead and drag this link up, and let's discuss it, man. We're going to get into this one because this one bothers me for... Let me just get into it, guys. All right. So you guys see the link. That is Sammy Sosa. You know, I am absolutely... I'm dumbfounded by this. This hurts me as a black man. What has led him to believe that his black skin is not beautiful? Right? That's what I think it bothers me as a black man. Is what has led him to believe that, or who was in his ear, rather, that did not say to him, your black skin is beautiful. You can be loved for your black skin, right? It hurts. It does hurt me to see this. And so with that, let me go ahead and try and see if I can get this thing to play. Play the little clip here. And let's see what happens. Let's just go ahead and give this a few seconds.
Sosa and Mark McGuire are credited with saving baseball when, in 1998, they both went head-to-head, breaking the decades-old home run record of 61. Sosa hit 66, McGuire hit an unreal 70. However, this was the steroid era in the MLB, and his success turned to scandal. Sammy was dragged before Congress to testify about the rampant cheating in baseball, and suddenly he didn't speak English. Well, now that the Dominican-born slugger looks like this, he's drawing instant comparisons to Snagglepuss in this pink outfit. But what did he do to himself? Well, Sammy told ESPN, quote, "It's a cream that I have that I use to soften my skin, but has bleached me some." He then weirdly adds, "I'm not a racist. I live my life happily." Skin bleaching is obviously very controversial for cultural reasons, but we spoke to a Beverly Hills derm who tells us it is actually dangerous to bleach your skin to this extent because it puts you at elevated risk of skin cancer.
Okay. So, I'm back here. You know, some village, I am, like I said, I'm deeply bothered by this, right? We're talking about African American man, and everything that he's going through. Let me go ahead and close that out. Excuse me, village. And everything that he's going through, right, or has gone through in his life, somehow, some way, he felt that he had to bleach his skin to essentially fit into the narrative of people, to fit into this, I have to do this to be accepted. You know, when he makes the excuse, oh, I'm not a racist, like, that should never even be something that enters your mind. At the end of the day, you are a black man. Yes, you're of Latin descent, Latin heritage, whatever the case may be. But when people see you, they see you as a black man. You're an you're black, you have some African ancestry in you. And you can say, okay, he's Dominican. Okay, cool, he's Dominican, right? I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll always say it. Slavery, the whole process, really, you know, the Dominican or your Cuban or your American or your American slave or Haitian really just depended on what boat you got on. That's literally what it all boils down to. It literally boils down to the boat trip that brought you here. That's it. I could easily be Dominican. Who knows? Cuban. Whatever. It's all about whatever boat you got on, whatever ancestors your boat got on. And that's it. So, anyways, Village, you know, I wish him the best. I'm hoping that, I really and truly hope that he's not self-hate. This isn't an issue of self-hate, but by all accounts, this definitely looks like an issue of self-hate. And I wish him the best. And that's all I got. That's all I got. I'm going to go from there. And so with that in mind, Village, I had some other things I wanted to kind of discuss and things of that nature. However, well, let's see here. Let me see. What's the other thing here? Nah, you know, I'll save those. Those are things that I would rather discuss group setting. So anyways, Village, we're getting ready to roll to some Village idiots here. Because it's time. It is time for some Village idiots. So let's go ahead and jump into this first story here. Let's go ahead and focus the screen on that. And we're going to once again screen share. All right. So, story out of Rebel Circus. A woman murders husband to collect life insurance payout. Finds out her husband's ex-wife is the beneficiary. Now, this is something you probably should have verified in your own way prior to killing your husband. Uloma Curry Walker, 45, is facing a life sentence after hiring a hitman to murder her husband, William Walker, in November 2013. What was Curry Walker's motivation? Money, of course. She was in financial trouble and decided to have her husband killed in order to collect his $100,000 life insurance policy. Unfortunately for Mrs. Curry Walker, Mr. Walker's ex-wife was still the named beneficiary on the policy. If Uloma Curry Walker's actions weren't disturbed enough, she made things worse by involving her 17-year-old daughter. Curry Walker asked her daughter and her boyfriend to help her find a hitman to kill her husband. Curry Walker gave her daughter's boyfriend, Chad Padgett, a partial payment of $1,000 for the murder. Padgett asked Chris Hine, his cousin, to carry out the murder. Hine, in turn, hired a man named Ryan Doherty. Let's see here. Let's get some more of this. Curry Walker has been found guilty of aggravated murder. Sentencing is scheduled for August, and Curry Walker is expected to get life in prison without the possibility of parole. Her three co-conspirators, not including Curry Walker's daughter, a juvenile, accepted lesser sentences as part of a plea agreement in exchange for their testimony against Curry Walker. If you are going to try to kill someone for insurance money, Village, make sure, just saying, make sure that you have all your P's and Q's lined up, all your T's across, and all your I's are dotted. I think that would be one of the most important things in the world, is to simply make sure that you are the one on the policy. I think that goes before anything else. You can't just assume. That's all I'm going to say. All right, so I'm going to close that one down. Let's keep it going here. And let's see here. Let me find another one. Let's see here. Let's see here. This is something that I think we've all wanted to do to a degree because of the nature of what it is. All right. And let me go ahead and screen share for you guys here once again. All right. Tyler Mann shows up to jury duty with beer in hand, allegedly drunk. You know, hey, man, you know, show up drunk to jury duty, not a big deal. It's whatever, you know, it's just jury duty. Who cares? They probably won't pick me anyway. You know, that's the thing that people always try to tell themselves, right? Like, no one's going to show up. They're not going to pick me. Nah, not going to pick me. All right. A 23-year-old Tyler Mann got out of jury duty Wednesday but landed himself behind bars. The man was arrested about 10 a.m. at the Smith County Courthouse after he showed up for jury duty drinking from a large Coca-Cola cup, looking sluggish and slurring his speech. Courthouse staff members reported the suspicious man to sheriff deputies at the courthouse. Well, that's the end of that one. So, again, I've done some pretty crazy things to get out of jury duty myself. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to repeat those things, what I've done, right? But I've done some crazy things to get out of jury duty. I'm just saying. So, showing up drunk, going to keep that one in the Rolodex. Never know. May need it. Who knows? Move on to this next story here. I'm over here finding these insanities that all right, let's see about this one here. All right, so this is you know, when keeping it real goes wrong. All right, so here it is. Let's go ahead and so here it is. Here's the story. Woman nabbed for drugs demands them back is rearrested. Salem, New Hampshire. Authorities say a New Hampshire woman arrested for drug possession returned to the police station to demand the drugs be returned to her. And she was rearrested. An officer told 26-year-old Emily Morin of Concord he wouldn't return the Suboxone, a highly addictive substance that can be used to treat heroin addiction. It was seized as evidence during her arrest, stemming from a shoplifting incident Tuesday. The officer said he saw Moran get into a car and start to drive away. Earlier, police determined that Moran's license and registration were suspended. She was arrested after a struggle. Moran will be arraigned Wednesday on charges of driving after suspension, breach of bail, and resisting arrest, in addition to drug and willful concealment charges. Yeah, buddy. Like I said, Village, if you are going to do something stupid, going back and asking for the drugs is probably one of the dumbest things you can do. Just saying. Think about it. Let me know what you guys think. We are actually at the end of the show. Like I said, we try to run things for roughly an hour, and we go from there. So, Village, with that in mind, again, some admin stuff here. I thank each and every last one of you guys for showing up into Crowdcast, into Facebook Live. Stand by because we have so much more we're going to be doing. You can get a hold of us at 619-202-1562. You can also get a hold of me on Twitter at Light My Mind, Chance W. Brown, Slink at Sling Grindstone. You can also get a hold of us via email, welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Check out our website. I'm still working on the website. There's so much that needs to be done because I'm probably going to have to get some outside help here, get someone hired and go from there. So with that in mind, Village, as the saying goes, we love you. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
You rocking with the Village. You rocking. get it.